Now, I am delighted to say that we are joined by nutritionist and dietitian Orla Walsh. She is going to speak to us on behalf of our sponsors, Green Farm, and talk to us about gut health, something that is very, very important. Orla, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Great. So tell me, give me a bit of a general overview. How important is it to have a healthy gut?
Well, I think people underestimate the importance of a healthy gut. So our gut is, you know, at the bulk of our immune system. And it also is something that communicates to us all the time and on how we're feeling. So if we feel physically or mentally less well that day, our gut is something that kind of talks to us and lets us know. So it's one of the biggest communicators in the body and lets us know how we're doing. But I suppose it's connected to every nook and cranny of us. Like, there's even studies to say that if you take certain probiotics, it affects how your kidneys function. So, you know, I know people are familiar with the gut-brain axis, but really the gut is connected to every system in the body and is constantly communicating with all the systems.
So how would you know that something isn't right? Like, what would be the red flags?
Well, there's lots of red flags. I suppose the serious ones would be unintentional weight loss and bleeding out of your bum, especially if you don't have signs of hemorrhoids, or a change in bowel habits, and that's especially, you know, if you're older and science is offensive, that means over 60. Anemia would be a big one. So generally speaking, men aren't supposed to get anemic, and neither are women who are postmenopausal. So if you are anemic, generally speaking, as a man or a postmenopausal woman, you're scoped. But anemia is just that little bit more common in women, premenopausal women. So, you know, it's taken as a, okay, it might just be the fact that you have iron losses. So generally speaking, the first protocol would be a blood test just to screen for celiac disease and rule that out, and because around 1% of the Irish population have that. But other things like stomach pain and even finding a lump, and, you know, I suppose people can go, oh, like, surely people, if they had those symptoms, they go straight to the doctor, but we know that they often don't, especially men. So it's always good to talk about what the super duper red flags are. But I suppose for everyone else, it's not normal for your gut to malfunction all the time. But I suppose if you're constipated all the time, or constipated and diarrhea and flip from one to the other all the time, or, you know, all of these sorts of things, if that's just normal to you, just let me know that, just letting you know that that's not normal. So I would just encourage people to be mindful of the fact that, you know, your gut is supposed to function as you want it to. You know, you get up in the morning, you have your breakfast, you do a poo, you get on with your day.
Okay, so look, if people are a little bit worried that maybe their gut isn't as healthy as it should be, are there dietary things that can be done to make it a little bit healthier?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, our gut health, you know, a lot of it and the bacteria and the microbiome is laid down in the first few years of life as we're babies and in the weaning stage. But I suppose how you continuously feed that bacteria and that microbiome and keep it as healthy as possible is by eating a diverse range of plants. So our gut really likes when we don't eat the same foods all the time. It prefers if we eat at least 30 different plants a week. So that would be mixing up the carbohydrate sources, mixing up the fruits, the vegetables, the nuts, the seeds, the legumes, and just getting that variety in. Our gut tends to work better when we have variety, but also it just makes sure that if we get variety, we're feeding all the different various compartments of the gut and the microbiome. And there's other things too. You know, I think fermented foods have become desperately trendy. And interestingly enough, people are kind of, as soon as I say fermented foods, they're like, oh, kefir and kimchi and kombucha and stuff like that. But, you know, cheese, blue cheese is a fermented food. So is yogurt, especially when they have even more live cultures added. So, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy in order to be fermented.
And what about then, like, non-dietary things that you can do for a healthy gut? Like, is there a better lifestyle that you can lead?
Yeah, so there's loads of things that actually affect our gut health. Everything from sleep, mood, alcohol, even the things like pollution. So, for example, if someone's coming to the clinic and they have issues with gut health, I'd be like, how do you get home? Like, do you walk the busy streets where there's a lot of traffic and you're taking in a lot of pollution, or can you go the back roads? Because that has been shown to have an impact. But other things like sweeteners, that we use, smoking and medicines too. So really anything that passes through the gut will have an impact on our gut. But generally speaking, if you eat a healthy diet, a varied diet, and live a healthy lifestyle, your gut health will respond. And it's okay to, you know, as well, that getting down in the muck is actually a good thing. So we know that there was a study done on the Irish rugby team, and it showed that they had diverse guts, and it's probably just due to the amount of food they ate, but also with the fact that they're rolling around in the mud all the time.
That's actually quite fascinating, isn't it, when you think about it? And you just think that they would have really healthy guts all the time, but they're probably, as you said, putting a lot of food through their bodies.
Yeah, so there's loads of important impacts with the gut, but I suppose just don't underestimate your gut and listen to it, because it will communicate when you're hungry and when you're full, but also communicate your emotions as well. And, you know, because it's related to every part of our body, if our gut is working well and if it's healthy, it really it supports the health of the other systems in the body. You know, for example, like, we know that a healthy gut and a healthy mind are connected.
I'd imagine as well there's a huge amount of probably research and advances done on gut health over the last few years.
Yeah, it's actually one of the most growing, it's a growing area, and it's one of the most exciting areas. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of the, I think people are talking about it a lot and talking about things before they're actually proven, unfortunately. So, for example, you know, a lot of the probiotics on the market haven't even been shown to make it to the gut. So the reason why people take probiotics is they want to make their gut healthier. But if it can't bypass the stomach acid and make it to the gut, then what's the point? It's a very expensive tablet then. So a lot of them actually haven't been proven to do anything. And in the same way, when we take antibiotics, we take specific antibiotic for a specific problem. You don't just take any willy-nilly. And when it comes to probiotics, it's the same thing. So you take a specific probiotic for a specific thing in a specific amount for a specific time frame, and even sometimes at a specific time of day. So it's much more precise than people realize, I think, and a lot of people waste a lot of money on their gut. But I suppose the two fundamentals of, you know, feeding a healthy gut will be water and fiber. And, you know, 80 to 90% of Irish people aren't eating enough fiber. So it's the two of those. So generally we need over 2 liters of water a day, our fluids, and we need 25 to 35 grams of fiber. And if you think about it, an average bowl of porridge contains 4 grams of fiber. So you can understand why people struggle to meet it.
Okay, well, I've learned a lot as always, Orla. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you.